I've never worn one of these things before. 55 years of preaching, the first microphone I ever wore. And it won't fit my ears. I am just happy. Touched. It's going to be tough. I'm so filled with joy. Anyway, we're going to make it. We moved in here December the 5th of 1975. And I preached that day on why should I join the church. And we had one person saved that day. Her name was Kathy. Anybody know anybody named Kathy? Okay. And then we had 48 in Sunday school that day. Preached on religion and not enough that night. Had one for baptism, Ms. McNary. Kathy Cherry, by the way, I was going to tell you. Our Sunday school offering that day was $639.15. Had 48 in Sunday school and 18 in church training program. That was many, many years ago. But we stayed till the Lord called us away to Louisiana. And we had a total of 76 additions in a little less than 2 years. Had 27 baptisms, 48 by letter, and one by statement. I thought it'd bring you up to date on that. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about the worth of the church. And our message is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 27, and then verse 32. Ephesians chapter 5. Someone tell me who wrote the book of Ephesians. Paul. How many books did he write? Well, 13 or 14, and they found one, another one in the Qumran findings in 1947. A shepherd man found it. Not just it, but some others in the cave. It's never probably be canonized or put in the Bible, but it has been reproduced, and a lot of places have copies of it. We saw one copy when we were in the seminary in New Orleans. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 27 and verse 32. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. How much is the word church worth to you? Think of it in times now, in terms of beyond dollars and cents. Today, for the most part, men regard the church very lightly. Jesus never did. Why can I say that? Well, it's in the Bible for one thing. And everything I say to you other than illustrations or parallels this morning is going to be from God's word. Stick with the Bible. It was a joyful thing when they said, we don't have any more Bibles. That's wonderful. Give somebody a Bible. Just plead with them. You know, if you can, give them a quarter to take it. I'm exaggerating. But get rid of that Bible. They need it. If they don't have one, they need it. And then all out of curiosity, if nothing else, they'll probably read part of the Bible or some of it. Maybe all of it. But why can I say this about Jesus and the church? Well, he birthed the church. Jesus did. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He bought the church. Matthew 16, verse 18. And then, of course, he's the one the Bible tells us about that built it. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what we need to keep in mind is this, beloved, that you're the church, and I'm the church. This church is as faithful as you are, or as unfaithful as you are. This church loves God as much as you love God. How much do you love God? We give of ourselves first. He did. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin that left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. The church, called the Ecclesia, called out body of baptized believers, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the church is worth my time. And is it really worth it? Well, when I ask that question, I know the answer. We passed two churches this morning. One of them split not long ago. They have two cars there. I preached for them several months ago on several occasions. And I don't mind, I'm not going to name the church, you probably already know. But I'm telling you this, in love, and I'm speaking of them in love. I preach for them, I'll preach for them again if they ask me to. Last time they asked me, I was busy, and I'm still busy. And there's a lady in the church there that's been married nine times. She's running the church. On Saturday nights, they have bingo. They take money out of the church treasury to buy ornaments and things to gamble for. They have two cars in front of the church this morning. That's sad. And enough to make you pull over the roadside and cry your heart out for the grace of God. They don't recognize God as who he really is. They are the church. God's ashamed of what they're doing. Don't let it happen to me and you. Passed another church on the way over here. Had two cars. I preached at that church a number of times. That's a sad situation. Then I come into this blessed assurance and see this crowd and get embraces and handshakes and praises to God and singing that'll wake you up, stand you up, get you up for the glory of God. Oh, my soul, you can't believe what we're experiencing. I don't know if I can stand it or not. I've been in so many dead churches. Lord, have mercy. Say it with me, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. I'm not unhappy. I can hardly stand myself. But I'm not going to quit. I'm going to talk about the church. A lot of people wonder why, you know, they come to church to give their best, to give their time, they give their time, they give their talent, their own time all the time, if God's willing and they're not sick or out of town, on vacation, whatever the reason might be. And then they see other people that have so much more than they do. I mean, they get a new car every year, maybe every 2 years. They've painted their white fence in front of the house. Ours is still rotten. That's the way we feel about it sometimes. And they have all this stuff going for them, but we don't have anything. All we do is go to church and praise God. But we have plenty to eat. We have plenty to wear. We've got a lot of friends. We have people that are dependable. And then we wonder, what is it? You know, then there are people that are not in church. They see Christians being blessed in so many, many ways. They say, look at those people right there. Look at them. They're happy all the time. This fellow that wrote this in the Bible, in the Psalms, he said, you know, when I thought about these things, I was too painful for me until I went to the house of God, then I understood their end. Christians are one heartbeat out of heaven, one heartbeat away from glory. We have lost two sons in the last few years to cancer. One of them, April the 16th, at 9:30 in the morning, the last two words he said in the world was, suits me. He was a song director for a church. He was an adult Sunday school teacher in that church. Last June, God called our last child away by cancer. My Lou has cancer. She's had it for 6 years and 7 months. But they say, and I'm waiting on God to answer. They say that it looks like there's light at the end of the tunnel. All these years, suffering and pain and losing her memory, didn't lose her sweet spirit. We've been married over 65 years, and every day we fall more in love with each other. I'm going to get away from the sermon. I was baptized twice and not saved. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism in the Spirit saves you. Yeah. Jesus called him he. The word it for the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's word it's twice in the Bible. The Bible is not wrong. It's right, but it's a false translation right there. Not false in a devilish manner, but the writer put the word it instead of him. He looked upon it as a male factor. We'll leave it at that. But when we think about the church, I want you to keep mindful of the fact, I'm the church, you're the church, and you're the church. And I'm going to say this about your pastor, by the way. He may call me back. I'm smiling, but I'm as serious as I can be. I don't know that I've met a sweeter person. I'm serious, very serious. He loves you. You can hear it in the tone quality of his voice on film or in person. And he's got a vision for things for this church. I did believe it, but I heard about it this first time I saw it. What an enlargement. You've got to enlarge. Isn't that wonderful to have growing pains? Mine's called weight. Well, the church is worth my energy and my effort. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion is to visit. In a small fishing town, several years ago, there was a sound in that community. It was sort of down in the valley, and a river ran through that, not very wide, but a fast-moving river going through there just about all the time. And people loved each other. They were church-going people, and they stayed in contact with one another. And so one day, it was the acoustics was such along the hillsides, up and down the river, you could hear people for a mile. So they say it. And I'm interjecting this in here because I read it and wrote it and kind of narrowed it down so I could present it in a sermon. But it's a true story. And so they heard one morning there talking about visitation and so forth, talking about being alert, getting involved. They heard, man overboard! Man overboard! And the people that heard it stood still, looked and listened around. Mothers that heard it, they realized what it meant, overboard in the water, a fast-moving river. And each mother, no doubt, that heard this probably wondered if she had a son, that if she had a son, is it my son? Is it my son? And so they gathered up there. They saw this young man struggling out there in the river, just about to drown. A giant or a young man came up, and somebody came with a long rope. This man tied it around his waist, and off into the water he went. The people were just praising God and shouting and just thanking God for what's going on. He had taken the rope and just threw it up in the crowd, the other end of it. And as he swam out there, they were just applauding him and jumping up and down and really excited about it. And so when he finally got a hold of the young man who went out to rescue, he turned around and cuffed his hand up to his mouth and said, "Pull the rope! Pull the rope!" They were so excited. This is serious. They were so excited about seeing him going out to receive, to catch the young man. Nobody saw the rope slip off in the water. They stood there helpless and saw two people drown. How many houses do you pass where there are people that need a ride to church? I'm asking you this in love. I do the same thing. I do the same thing. How many people do we see we invite to church? I know you're inviting them. And they're coming. And what's going to aggravate you, but God's going to provide, you're going to have to build again if you keep this mess up. I want to come back when you do. But is the church really worth it? Well, I should say it is. The church is worthy of my financial support. Preacher, you're getting personal. Do you know that? I'm not preaching this morning. I'm talking. I really yell it out when I get with it. Who said that? Worthy of my support. Here we go. 20% of the Southern Baptists do all the work. Period. The same 20% does all the giving. Period. CBS 6 weeks ago, in the closing out of the evening news, Scott Pelley said, "I have one more thing to say to America. It's about the Southern Baptist Convention." And he said not long ago, now you listen carefully, this may be the only thing you remember. Not long ago, Southern Baptists bragged about having 41,000 churches around the world and said they did. They really did. And they had 16 million people associated with the Southern Baptist Convention. He said they really did. I mean, he's emphasizing it. He said the last meeting they had, they have 45,000 churches. You think that's wonderful, he said. It is wonderful. But they only have 15 million people. Why 41,000, 45,000, and a million less people? And he said on national television, because of splits in the church. You didn't hear much about that. You might not have heard it. Not have heard about it. I sat there and saw that, and my chin rested right about here. I'll tell you what's happening. And I'm Southern Baptist by choice. I'm Christian first, and then second I'm a Christian, and third I'm a Christian, and on I'm a Christian. Somewhere down the line, I'm Baptist. I was reared in a Baptist church. That's all I ever knew. Are we the best group in the world? Are we the goodest, as our little boys used to say? No, we're not. The Bible says there's not one good, no, not one. Only God is good. And He is good. He gives us the bread of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross, laid down His life. I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He's that friend that loveth at all times. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Like the seven churches, Jesus said to every one of them, He says it to each of us individually and collectively, I know where you are. Sometimes we're in places we ought not to be. Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes you look in lust. Don't let a breath get by. Do you say out loud under the sound of your breath, quietly but deeply sincerely, God, forgive me for having that type of persuasion in my life. And God will forgive you right then. Don't wait. It'll fester and it'll grow and it'll lead you further away. Remember, the church is worth what you are and who you are. Well, when we think about giving, I remember in a church that I was at one time. It was called Dolan Baptist Church. Our kids were getting ready to go to camp on a Sunday morning. Not leaving that morning, but they needed some money to go. I let the church know how much it cost per child. Would you believe I remember the days that they could go to camp for a week for $7.50? Uh-huh. Right here. People began to stand up in church. Brother Alvin, me and so-and-so will sponsor one. They sponsored 14 kids that morning. Amen. And they gave the money. Not that day, but during the next 2 weeks, they gave all the money and ready for the kids to go to camp. Not one child went to camp. I'm serious. Not one child went to camp. How did I feel about that? I was hurt. Our people were discouraged. So what did they do? We had a business meeting. What are we going to do with all that money we took up for the kids? What we're going to do is show them our heart is still in the right place. We're going to put it in the children's fund. The youth fund, they can use it when they make up their minds. I thought that was a very proper thing for the church to do. When we think about Easter offerings and so forth and so on, Lottie Moon offerings. Several years ago, there was a fellow, I wasn't his pastor, but he and his wife were very faithful to the church in attendance and all supporting it financially. They saw the vision as well as others. And so, he died in July. Their children were all gone away. moved away. Would come and go occasionally. And she was down in the dumps. She didn't have this spring in her step, that smile on her face. Along came the time they're making a drive again for a lot of moon offering. One day she came into church. Remember, he died in July. And she was so despondent, just almost beside herself, not eloquent as she always was. She came into church that morning, had a big championship smile on her face, had a spring in her step, just joyful to the nth degree. The preacher said, "My soul, what's wrong with you this morning? What happened? What? I want to know what happened. You're a totally different person." She said, "I'm going to tell you the story before we go inside. You know, my husband died in July." He said, "Well, yes, I know. I buried him." She said, "But in April, I looked down in my purse this morning, way down in my purse. I pulled out an envelope. In April, he had already made out a check and put it in this envelope for this occasion, this December." That's commitment, folks. That's commitment. Committing ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The church is worthy of my telling others. Let me ask you this question. I'm asking in love, and I hope you accept it in love. It's a two-part question. When was the last time someone ever came and talked to you intentionally about the church? When we were at my first pastorate, Sabine Pass, Tremont Baptist Church, there was a trailer house down at the end of the street there, and I told my Lou, it was on the same block, I'm going to go down there and talk to those people about Jesus. I went down, knocked on the door. As always, visiting, you're supposed to. If a woman comes to the door, you keep your hands in front of you, always, and take a couple of steps back. So that, of course, you don't know if her husband's there or somebody else is there. But if a woman comes to the door, back up it so she won't be afraid of you. If you take a step forward, this is a little bit of psychology on visitation. Take a step forward, it might scare them. They might just lose it. So this lady comes to the door, and I back up like that, and I said, "Good morning, how are you?" She said, "I'm fine." We hadn't been there very long. She said, "I'm fine." I said, "I'm Alvin Tomlinson. You see that Tremont Baptist Church right down there?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I pastored that church. I'm so happy to be here. It's my first church. I just left a good job 15 and a half years for Son Noah County. And I want to invite you to church." She said, "Well, what'd you say your name was?" I said, "Alvin Tomlinson." "Tomlinson?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, Brother Tomlinson, I'm not making excuses, but I don't know how long we're going to be here. My husband's got a job right over here." I said, "How long have you been here?" She said, "5 years." Somebody hadn't visited. So I'm not accusing anybody, but they hadn't visited, or they did visit and they still had a hard heart. It just takes a moment. God will give you the witness. Pray before you go. Take someone with you. Always take someone with you as a visitor. Don't make them mad. I may be the next guy at the front door. Be sweet to them. Love them. Tell them we love you in the Lord. They can't keep you from doing that. You better love them if you're going to witness to them. No matter who they are, their color, their height, their weight, the family they came from, it doesn't matter. God loves everybody. David Bush, a friend of mine, who used to pastor at the town called West Texas. He and I were talking one day. Wonderful pastor. Took him 10 years to get 4 years education. He wanted an education. Went on to the seminary and graduated. I started college at 39 years old and graduated at 45. The first daylight graduation of Lamar University had. December the 22nd, 1970, 10 o'clock in the morning. Our two boys were sitting up in the bleachers. call my name, Alvin Tomlinson. Handed me the certificate. My two boys jumped up. Way to go, Dad! That's the way to go. And he was the band director for Lamar University. He said, "Must be your son." I said, "It is." When you go out to visit and you're winning people to Christ, remember you're the church. You're representing the church. God is depending on me. You can depend on Him, but He's depending on you, and He's depending on me. Brother Alvin, they may turn me away. They may say something sarcastic to me. They may slam the door in my face. Really? I know a man that wasn't guilty of anything. I met him face to face. Listen, I even taught the Bible men's class and I was lost. Oh, yes, I did. I moved my letter just as faithfully as I could. Like I said, baptized twice. But I was lost all the time. Judas preached. Why couldn't I teach a Sunday school class? But when I got saved, I went down that aisle, weeping. Nobody asked me to come to church. My little boys didn't say, "Dad, are you going to go to church?" They usually did. My Lou didn't say, "Honey, you going with us today?" I could hardly wait for them to ask me so I could say, "No, I'm not going." I went that day because nobody asked me. Something began to happen in my life. The old preacher, I didn't like him. He was a Yankee. And I'm still fighting the Civil War then. I never knew a man from the North, but I hated everyone else. But I went that day, I went down the aisle. Now, one reason I know I'm saved, and I was saved that day, I got to thinking all that God had brought me through while He was preaching. He was a carpenter, electrician, well-educated. He could do just about anything he wanted to, but he was a Yankee. I'm thinking about where God brought me from. I used to be a street fighter. I fought 22 times. Amateur fighting in the Navy in 2 years. 120, lost two. Got knocked out once by the only colored fighter I fought. And I came two blocks down the street, two stores up in a building. He laid one on me. I thought in 30 seconds I could work him over. That was a bad thought. But you know, God brought me through bombings, torpedo attacks. I held people while they died. Some friends, some were not. I saw people decapitated. The day President Roosevelt died, I was standing port side on a ship, 12,000 Japanese out on the island. Our F4U Corsair planes were coming in, spraying them with diesel fuel. Other four F4U Corsairs are coming in, dropping incendiary bombs, burning the Japanese off the island. They're running out in the water. We lowered away. We didn't. Our ship didn't. Thank God they didn't. I wasn't saved, but I saw Japanese out there. There were 12,000 on the island, and I don't have many in the water. But our ships are going out there with 30 caliber machine guns like they're shooting watermelons in the water. I thought about that. That's the day Jesus saved me. Not the day they were shooting, the day I'm telling you about it. First Baptist Church in Highland. Not long after that, I surrendered to preach. And here I am. So happy. I wish I could explain my happiness. I really do. What kind of church do you have now? It's as precious as you are. It's as honest as you are. It's as faithful as you are. that's as sweet as you are. But are you satisfied with your salvation? Have you gone so far away this morning you need to rededicate your life? You know what rededicate means? Coming down, taking the preacher by the hand. You know why you take him by the hand? Fulfilling Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, that you and the preacher agree on the things of God. That's what it's all about. And it's an extension of friendship. That old song, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. He wants to take your heart and your hand this morning. You might be here this morning, or I should say it another way. You are here. You are here, and God's leading you to move your letter, leading you to rededicate your life. You don't have to tell me what it is. Just God wants you to come publicly to be an influence to someone else. Brother Alvin, I'll come to rededicate my life. And you and I will have prayer. I'll lead us in prayer. You might want to give your life to Christ. You've been convicted by part of my testimony that I'm still there. I need to get out of this hole. I need to get saved. And you know, I wasn't ashamed to go down that day. It didn't bother me. Why should I be ashamed? I ran for school board in Highland. I got 103 votes, more than anybody in the history of that community. High Island used to be called White Doe Island. The Indians named it that because the White Doe ran up and down that hill out there all the time, 33 feet above sea level. Why should I? I had a district job with Sun Oil Company. I was a labor union representative with Sun Oil Company. I had out-of-town expenses. I was a master mason. I'm not active anymore, but I was then. And I love masonry, but I don't participate in it. I don't put it down. They do some good work. And I love the brethren. But see, the problem was, I wasn't saved. I wasn't happy as I ought to be. My happy was temporary. About things of the world, not things of the church. Let me pitch this in before we have an invitation. My Lou was one of the best managers of money I ever saw. We have gone in our ministry. We've gone as long as 2 weeks with 25 cents in our pocket. That's right. That's right. Right over here where we live in this little parsonage. Christmas time. Lou said, you know what? And this is not putting down Dolan Church. They paid us well. They fed us. They gave us food. I'm telling you, they took care of us. This is the greatest church I ever pastored. You can quote me on that. Christmas time. During the week of Christmas. Honey, I don't want to worry you or anything like that, but if we just had $20 more, we'd have a great Christmas. 1977. I go to the mailbox out here and get a letter from a guy that I worked with, the Sun Oil Company. In that letter is a check for $20. Bible school 1 year. I used to jog a lot while I was here, sometimes up to 5 miles a day, not every day. And my Lou rode a bicycle. She'd run into me a half a dozen times. I must have been magnetized to a bicycle. But we're going to stop one down there on the road, go down this way, turn right, go back in there and make a right turn, a left turn, going down that road. So I'm jogging a little bit and I stop and talk a little bit. Along comes a heavy set guy. His wife was a member of the church here. But Lou had said, boy, if we had $100, we could have a fantastic Bible school. This same guy, by the way, the week we moved in, didn't know who he was, didn't see him. He left a jar of vegetables and stuff with a $10 bill wrapped around it. with a rubber band. But this particular day, this guy comes by in the pickup truck. And he held out his hand. He said, "Young lady, I believe you need this for your Bible school." I'm serious, folks. $100. That's Dolan Community. Yeah. Maybe tonight I'll get a chance to preach. Let's bow for prayer and we'll have an invitation. Lord Jesus, thank you for our salvation. Thank you that my heart's not broken because of death or injury. Only you can know how happy I am. Lord, bless this invitation. It's yours. I pray that no one will leave this church. No one has reached the age of accountability. Understand that Jesus loves and Jesus saves. I pray they'll not go out of this house of worship without making things right with the Lord. Help them not to be ashamed of Jesus nor his people. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please.